gentlemen, and welcome once again to American Arsenology. Brought to you by Piers Morgan's Infatuation. Are you all right, mate? I'm your host. There is something deeply disturbing going on here. And now, tonight's top stories. Welcome back, me gooners and me goonerettes. Arsenal have been victorious 1-0 at Villa Park. It was a fantastic and crucial bounce-back away win for Mikel Arteta's men, and it set the young guns on a glorious path towards the international break. There were all sorts of intriguing storylines, so let's get right into it. The opening storyboard of this one featured Spanish Michael facing off against former Liverpool legend, Steven Gerrard. It was a battle of the new age managers, as so many of the elite players we grew up watching have now stepped into managerial roles. It was a turning of the page on the history books and a bright, bright day for Mikel Arteta's CV. There was all sorts of positivity from Arsenal, so let's dive a little deeper. Rundown on the starting 11 featured a sense of familiarity with one big change. It was Aaron Ramsdale in goal, Gabriel Magalhaes and Benjamin White at centre-back. On the right was a continued run in the team for Cedric Rickmalrenes-Sorez. And on the left, one Kieran Tierney, the once and future king. The midfield pairing of Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka continued, as the Swiss man and the Ghanaian continued to impress themselves in the Premier League. It was a front four consisting of Little Chili, Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard, and a start for Emile Smith-Rowe, the Smith. Up top, it was another match, a third match, in not such a long time period for Alexander Lacazette. And in this one, folks, the Panther would run out of gas.
Honestly, we're out of gas. So, what are we gonna do now?
Arsenal started brightly, and in just the third minute of play, there was a big, big chance for the Smith. It was good work from Bukayo Saka, and another shot-generating chance created by Martin Odegaard. But the Smith blasts the chance over the crossbar in a sign of some potential rustiness from not having played more minutes. Nonetheless, it was a nice, nice flowing movement from the gun. Arsenal were pressing high and disrupting Villa in the first 10 minutes of this one. And there was a chance for Thomas Partey in the 9th or 10th, either way, it was a chance for the Octopus Teacher, and he lashed one at Emi Martinez, but it was straight down Broadway, and the Argentine crybaby gobbled it up like a Thanksgiving turkey.
I got beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
raised the raw,
beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rat,
you name. And in the 10th minute, more good play from Little Chili Bukayo Saka. As he forced Emi Martinez in a quick reaction save down low on what would have been a potential own goal. Yes, it was more mayhem, madness, and exquisite balance displayed by Bukayo Saka in this one, as he was hammered, harassed, and hacked, as we have been talking about since the season's inception. Who will protect this young dynamite man?
Maxine is the lady who's feeling all right, thanks to the magic of kid Dynamite!
And in the 15th minute, Emile Smith-Rowe was hacked down by young talent Jacob Ramsey. It was a dirty foul, with Steven Gerrard's tactics fully on display. as the hip-screwed manager instructed his villains from Villa to smash Arsenal's young guns. It was dirty argy-bargy all day from Aston Vanilla. And for that, I say fuck you, Steven.
I called the wrong number today. I said, hello, is Joey there? And a woman answered, she said, yes, he is. I said, can I speak to him, please? She said, no, he can't talk right now. He's only 2 months old. I said, all right, I'll wait.
There was some mesmerizing Arsene Wenger-type combination play and a brilliant switch of the point from the men in yellow. As little flicks and back heels and wall passes led to a big, big chance for our number 10, ESR. Yes, the ball was pinged around in brilliant triangulation on the left-hand side of the pitch and quickly switched to the right. Martin Odegaard and Bukayo Saka showed their telepathic understanding to create a huge chance for the Smith. But alas, it went begging. And folks, in the 30th minute, more football goes boom, said play acumen from Nicolas Jover. As Arsenal crafted a delightful, delightful goal straight from the training ground. There was a neat little overlap on a small little ball that was then driven to the touchline and crossed in well into the box. The trickery on the delivery created an angle that was challenging to deal with for the villains. When the second ball popped out to little chilly Bukayo Saka in the heart of the D, he lashed home a quick hit off his shin guard, and it flew past an unsighted crybaby extraordinaire, Emi Martinez. Little Neo Chili, you've done it again!
In the kitchen, wrist twisted like a stir fry. Whip it in the kitchen, wrist twisted like a stir fry. Whip it in the kitchen, wrist twisted like a stir fry. Whip it in the kitchen, wrist twisted like a stir fry.
In the 32nd minute, a bit of a flashpoint in this one. As Bukayo Saka was scythed down, Mikel, how I have asked for you to tune up the referees and protect young Bukayo. This must be done, Mikel. Get on it, man. Bukayo was clattered, but interestingly enough, in the argy-bargy handbag scruff after Mings smashed Bukayo, Alexander Lacazette was totally blindsided, tabletop fucked in the back by a villain douchebag. It was a bizarre turn of events, and one that left Ben White, Benjamin Blanco, Dr. Ben Sobel, in utter hilarity. First half was winding down and the clock was tick, tick, ticking away. But there was still time for a flashpoint between Emi Buendia and Granit Xhaka. Xhaka was yellow carded by one Madley. Oh, we know that name so well. But this was Big Brother, Mr. Andy Madley. Andy Madley bizarrely claimed that he was carding Xhaka for 3 prior offenses. 1, 2, 3, count them up, and I will ring you up. As we all know, in Arsenal world, there were no 2 previous infractions. And this was a bizarre, biased decision by Madley. But what do you expect from that kind of folk who would criticize the most in need. And as always, there were two big takeaways. Number one, Thomas Partey has been in the best form of his Arsenal career since the well-intentioned but ill-fated return at Anfield in January. Here at our American Arsenology, we have always rated the Octopus Teacher as one of the truly world-class players in Arsenal's ranks. And in the last 7 matches, he has lived up to that billing, displaying a fantastic eye and reading of the game, breaking up play, showcasing a crystal clean technicality on the ball and diversity of short, medium, and long range line breaking passes. Passes that have splintered opposition defenses on multiple occasions in each match. And oh, the feeling, oh, what a feeling we all felt when he headed home a well-thought-out Nicolaccio Ver near-post corner routine. Thomas Partey is on fire, lads and lassies, and we are here for every minute of it. Number two. While I will applaud Bern Leno for stepping up and playing a crucial role in attaining 3 points on the road, the levels between Leno and Aaron Ramsdale truly are massive. What was most horrifying was watching Leno lose the flight of the ball on many, many occasions. That kind of uncertainty in dealing with service, well, folks, it inspires zero confidence in a backline. And additionally, his lackluster distribution and those lofted, weak-legged lawn balls, they were painful. While we know Ramsdale will have been disappointed with Liverpool's first goal, yesterday was a reminder that we truly have one of the elite goalkeepers in the Premier League amongst our ranks. And if Newcastle want Bern Leno, I say hell yes on so many levels.
Okay, remember what I told you. Be your own boss. Love yourself. Get up and dance. Level up.
Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The second half began with Ashley Young getting shitted in his mouth again. But this time it was Cedric Soares defecating all over the Premier League and Italian League journeymen. Cedric was carded and Ashley Young, he was crying, 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 with arms flailing like a little bitch. In the 61st minute, there was another chance for the villains, as John McGinn would give his best effort on Bern Leno's goal. But the curling effort was a good 6 inches wide, and Steven Gerrard, well, he was encouraged, but after all, he is a shit.
You suck, you jackass.
The game was progressing, and in the 64th, there was another chance for little Chili Bukayo Saka, who he is truly becoming unmarkable, coming in, drifting, drifter getaway. Drifting in from the right channel, like so many of Manchester City's brilliant inverted wingers that Mikel Arteta reportedly had a hand in. In the 65th minute, Thomas Partey was a bit unlucky to pick up a yellow card, as he gave a little hip hooray check on Matty Cash. It was a yellow for my octopus teacher on a day when he would shine bright again like a diamond. There was a free kick from reported Arsenal target Douglas Luiz that was fully 15 yards off the mark. And as the game was progressing, it looked more and more like Arsenal's thorough and well-intentioned technicality through the midfield would make the difference on the day.
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah.
In the 74th minute, a massive chance to put the game to bed for Arsenal, as brilliant work from Emile Smith-Rowe would see the ball worked onto Lacazette right on top of the 18-yard box. The pass that was played to Laka did it all. It allowed him the time, space, and creativity to create a finishing opportunity to win and truly end the contest for Arsenal. But as has so often been the case, ad nauseum with Lacazette, he failed to produce. And in this instance, his lack of energy, his wet noodle fucking legs, were really telling, folks. A new contract, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. 12 months, I won't cut my whole head off. Anything longer, and man, I'm a goner. In the 85th minute, there was a chance for that old ugly bastard, Danny Ings. It was an attempt at a looped header, and had it been on frame, I don't know what Bern Leno would have done with it. However, it was off the mark, and the danger was averted. But in the 89th, there was another cross that evaded Leno and forced Kieran Tierney into a headed clearance for a corner. As we're all aware of now, Robert Holtini had come on in the 86th and given the now famous 5-2-3 signal. We will talk about what raising the flag means when Rob Holding is introduced. And I'm not here to say it is completely negative or positive, but I do think it raises a banner and says a lot to the opponent. The first half was finally coming to its conclusion, with Arsenal about to taste a vital victory. There was a headed chance for Villa, and a late free kick conceded by one Nicolas Pepe. It forced Arsenal to defend the 3 points with all their might and their heart and soul. And on this occasion, Bern Leno would punch clear a relatively easy ball into the box, and Arsenal would surround the displaced German keeper, saluting his effort on the road back to the glory land. This could be second half came to its conclusion, and as always, there were three big whopping whopper takeaways. Number one, against Aston Villa, Arsenal's technical security was outrageous. Thomas Partey, 60 touches, lost the ball 8 times. Granit Xhaka, 69 touches, lost it only 4 times. And Martin Odegaard, 51 touches, lost possession just 3 times. The quality of Mikel Arteta's midfield was the main difference in this one. Thomas Partey, Granit Xhaka, and Martin Odegaard, they created a velvety soft passing network full of amazing first touches, silky combination play, and a genius game awareness that set Steven Gerrard's Christmas tree setup on fire. Number two. Robert Bobbert Bobby Robbie Robbie Holdini Holding. Let me say something about Rob the Rug and all the memes about 5-2-3. Excuse me. While Rob Holding has produced some very strong performances for Arsenal this season, let us take a moment to examine what Holding's introduction in the final minutes of a match means. On paper, it is a reasonable tactic. Add a third centre back and see games over the line. But I am not so sure that we should be inviting pressure in the first place. The introduction of Rob Holding means we have raised a flag. We are digging in and committing to defending for our lives. In the Villa game, we were superior in the midfield. So then, why not kill the game higher up the pitch, away from the danger area, by including Sambi Albert Sambi Lokonga, or dare I say it, even Mohamed Elneny? You may call me crazy, but I do fear that sitting in with Holding and absorbing, inviting, and encouraging balls into the box during the dying minutes of a match, it may well come back to haunt us at some point in the stretch run. And finally, with Alexander Lacazette spurning another big chance to capitalize for Arsenal and make it 2-0 against Aston Villa immediately in the build-up to his substitution, I am proposing a new idea to help the Pink Panther, to help him get just a little bit fitter for the rest of the campaign. Therefore, I do believe that the club should hire Alexander Lacazette, his own personal Kato Fong. A stealth, ninja-like manservant who will be committed to attacking the Frenchman in his apartment at night. For this seems like the best and final option for improving Lacazette's fitness and sharpness in front of goal. And for the role, I would like to nominate that fucking scumbag, Piers Morgan.
Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right. There goes my baby, there goes my heart, they're gone forever, so far apart. But only the lonely know why.